Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Eureka Foods Limited Q4 FY23 and FY23 earnings conference call. We have Mr. Pratik Pota, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Gaurav Khandelwal, CFO, Eureka Foods with us. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before I hand it over to Pratik, sir, please note the disclaimer. Certain statements made by the management in today's call may be forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements reflect management's best judgment and analysis as of today. The actual results may differ materially from the current expectations based on a number of factors affecting the business. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Pota. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you all to the first investor call for Eureka Foods after the company's listing last year. We thank you for your patience and understanding. These calls will now be a regular feature of our calendar. In addition, we will also be engaging with our investors and the wider community outside of these quarterly calls as well. Since this is our first earnings call, we thought it would be appropriate to share some more information about EFL and the more recent developments in the company. Let me first start off with a wider context. As you're aware, we operate in the space of pure water, clean earth, and pure air. The categories of water purifiers, vacuum cleaners, and air purifiers play a critical role in enabling the health and hygiene for our communities, families, and individuals. These categories, however, have very low penetrations in India and therefore offer considerable headroom for growth. Additionally, these categories will see tailwinds from the enhanced post-pandemic consumer sensitivity towards health and hygiene and from programs on universal electrification and piped water availability, which will provide a strong platform to drive growth and penetration. We believe that at Eureka Foods, we are well-placed to lead and participate in this growth. We are pioneers in the cleaning and water categories in India with a 40 years-plus heritage. In AquaGuard, we have a power brand that enjoys tremendous consumer trust and acceptance. Our omni-channel presence, including our direct sales network and our nationwide service network, give us unique advantages and position us well for driving sustained multi-year growth. Recently, we began working on a new transformation strategy that will drive growth, improve profitability, and unlock value for the business. This exciting strategy, titled Project Udaan, will propel us towards a vision of transforming into a vibrant D2C health and hygiene leader, delivering sustained and profitable growth. Let me say that again. Will propel us towards a vision of transforming into a vibrant D2C health and hygiene leader, delivering sustained and profitable growth through a strong product portfolio, best-in-class innovations, and obsessive focus on customer service, all delivered through our digital-first model. Towards this, I would now like to outline the new strategy and the themes that we are working on. Our first strategic pillar is to grow the water business, both by growing the category as also by driving differentiation and premium innovations. Water purifiers in India have a very low penetration of only 5%, and we will focus on driving accessibility, relevance, and affordability to address the category barriers and drive growth. Our recent campaign launched in quarter four, titled Nal Se Kapda Hatega to Sar Se Kapda Hatega, aimed at the cloth and sleeve users, along with products priced affordably starting at rupees 6,499, were steps in that direction. In addition, we will also drive premium innovations to serve customers who are becoming more discerning and design conscious and looking for new differentiated products, and new features, from what they buy. The second pillar of our strategy will be to grow the categories of cleaning and air. In cleaning, there is both a category growth task as also a premiumization agenda, and we will grow the business through a portfolio that addresses both. Given the increasingly poor air quality across the country, we believe that air purifiers offer significant potential, and our role here will be to nurture and incubate the category and drive consumer education and awareness. The third strategic theme is about transforming our customer experience. Today's customers expect control, convenience and speed, and we have several initiatives lined up that will give customers a much better and completely reimagined experience. We will give customers the ability to schedule and monitor their service and provide ratings and feedback. In addition, we'll also equip our service network with digital tools that will in turn help them provide seamless service delivery to our customers. Our fourth pillar is about operating with leaner cost structures and a much more efficient operating model. We have put in place a structured program to drive efficiencies, and execution is underway in areas of productivity, cost negotiations, and control on spends. Our scope of work covers not just cost, but cash optimization as well, to create the headroom for growth and for investments. Technology is now all pervasive, and being digital first is our fifth strategic pillar. We believe digital will play a critical role in leveraging our 8 million plus customer base and the large network of field force and channel partners. We have embarked on a digital strategy aimed at improving customer experience, employee and partner experience, as also at driving agility. Our digital assets are being rebuilt and will be optimized for delivering convenience, engagement and commerce to our customers. Finally, our army of proud, passionate and committed Eurochamps will be the sixth and the most critical pillar. We are building a team that will be an exciting amalgam of experience and fresh talent, and this will be critical in driving the transformation agenda. We have strengthened the leadership team by hiring at various levels across functions and across the organization. In addition, we are building the culture focused on customer centricity, collaboration, agility, ownership and accountability. In summary, we are excited about the opportunity of driving growth and profitability on the back of innovations and improved customer experience and a more efficient operating model. I will now turn my attention to quarter 4 FY23 and full year FY23. In quarter 4, consumer demand continued to be subdued and was reflected in our top line growth. Our net revenue stood at ₹508.1 crores, a decline of 8% over last year. During the quarter, we launched a new range in water purifiers, including AquaGuard Superior, Blaze and Eden. We also launched our latest range of robotic vacuum cleaners. Our EBITDA in quarter 4 FY23 was 47.4 crores at 9.3% of revenue and a growth of 35.6% over last year. Our operational efficiency initiatives reflected in a sequential and year-on-year improvement in our EBITDA margins. Most importantly, our Q3 and Q4 margins reflect a decisive shift in our margin trajectory up from our past levels of low to mid-single digits. Similarly, better cash management enabled reduction in our net debt by 70% plus, thereby creating headroom to invest in growth. We aim to significantly step up our capex in FY24 to support the growth and digitization agenda. On a FY basis, net revenue came in at ₹2080.4 crores, a growth of 2.2% year-on-year. EBITDA for the year stood at ₹131.7 crores at 6.3% of revenue. In summary, we have started off on an exciting transformation journey, Project Udaan, that will fundamentally reshape our business, unlock growth and profitability, and help us evolve into a D2C health and hygiene powerhouse. We look forward to sharing updates with you about this in the quarters ahead. I will now hand you over to Gaurav, our CFO, who will provide more color on the financial performance and the numbers. Over to you, Gaurav.
Thank you, Prateek. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Starting off with the quarter four performance. During the quarter, our revenue was ₹508.1 crore and they grew by 8% on a year-on-year basis. This was due to a combination of a soft demand environment and some impact of transformation, including portfolio rationalization. EBITDA grew by 35.6% year-on-year to ₹47.4 crore, leading to a margin of 9.3%, an expansion of 300 basis points versus previous year, and also a sequential improvement by 61 basis points. Improvement in year-on-year EBITDA margins was driven by a combination of cost initiatives and a relatively soft commodity environment. Net debt reduced from ₹177 crore as at end of March 22 to ₹50 crore as at end of March 23, a 72% reduction. This was on the back of focused transformation initiatives in the areas of digital collection and improved inventory management. And this was reflected in our finance cost, which reduced by 47.9% from ₹6.7 crore to ₹3.4 crore in quarter four. We believe that the combination of an improved margin profile and lower debt gives us headroom for growth investments. Aided by EBITDA margin expansion and lower finance costs, our PBT before exceptional items grew by 120.9% to ₹35 crore. PBT margin for the quarter was at 6.9%, an expansion of 400 basis points year on year. During the course of the year, we've made several choices to ensure focus on our core portfolio. Continuing with that, in quarter four, we recorded an exceptional charge of ₹9.14 crore related to closure of non-core product lines. PAT was ₹16.3 crore compared to ₹8.2 crore in Q4 FY22, an increase of 98%. I now move on to the full year performance. Our revenue for the year was ₹2080.4 crore, up 2.2% year on year. EBITDA for the year grew 20.2% to ₹131.7 crore. EBITDA margin was at 6.3%, an expansion of 94 basis points year on year. Depreciation and amortization expenses increased to ₹55.3 crore compared with ₹31 crore last year due to the full year impact of amortization of intangible assets. PBT before exceptional items grew by 19.5% to ₹67 crore. PAT was ₹17.1 crore compared to ₹26.3 crore last year, with the drop being attributable to exceptional charges. To summarize, we have embarked on an exciting journey of transformation under Project Udaan. With our strong brands, omni-channel presence, wide service coverage, and the energy of our Euro champs and partners, we believe that we are well placed to drive long-term growth and profitable growth. The initial impact of our early initiatives is visible in our profitability and cash flows, and we intend to make steady progress on other transformation fronts as well. On that note, I would now like to hand over for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, and great to have you guys on the first ever conference call.
Mr. Gohil, sorry to interrupt you. Please increase the volume of your device.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Sir, my first question is on the overall demand environment. While you highlighted that it's been soft, but are you seeing some signs of improvement of late? That's question number one. The question number two is on margins. While there has been significant improvement, how do you think about it from here on? And what will be the primary levers of margins going forward? Thanks.
Thank you. So I'll take on the first question and request Gaurav to chip in on the margin question. On your first question about our expectation of the change in trajectory, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, we have been faced with a reasonably tough macro environment in the last couple of quarters. We expect that with the coming festive season, that demand environment should begin to improve. We are seeing a few green shoots, but I would say not appreciably so. And we expect the demand curve to shift only coming the festive season. Gaurav?
Yes. Commenting on the margins, so we see margin expansion over a period of time as an outcome of all the work that we do under our transformation agenda of growth and customer service. Having said that, we do recognize the need for operational efficiencies, and hence one of our strategic pillars is about leaner cost structures. We have put in place a structured program to drive efficiencies, and as we speak, execution is underway in several areas, as an example, productivity, cost negotiations, and strong control on spends. The first step in this journey is reflected in our quarter three and quarter four results, which represent a break from our past EBITDA trajectory. Also, I would want to add that our work in this area would not just be limited to cost, but would also encompass cash initiatives to keep providing the fuel for growth investments.
So Gaurav, where do you see the levers come? Considering the fact that, you know, the demand is going to remain slightly challenging for a couple of quarters, where do you see the levers coming from, and what are the challenges? Because my assumption here is that you would have also taken up some legacy related issues in the company. So how are you meeting those? If you can just help us understand that. Thank you.
Yes, I think the margin expansion would be a combination, as I mentioned, of growth and improving our customer service. But again, cost continues to be an area of focus, and that is something where the work will be ongoing. So that would remain a lever available for margin expansion, and of course, growth would add on top of it.
Just to add to that, we spoke about the transformation to being a digital-first organization. As we start implementing our digital solutions, it will have an impact on improving productivity and cutting costs. So even outside of the growth lever, we feel reasonably confident that we have the elbow room to improve productivity and to cut the inefficiencies and wastage and improve margins.
Thank you. Mr. Goel, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Swati Hero from Ratnavali Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. So like you just mentioned, the water purifier industry has a penetration of about 5%. So clearly people are not perceiving this to be a necessity in their homes. So you being the market leader, like how do you plan to address this challenge?
Thank you, Swati. Thank you for the question. And yes, you're right. Despite the fact that the water quality in India is distressed, the penetration in the country of water purifiers is still 5%. Urban has a higher penetration of 12%, rural is 3%. If you double-click on the non-users, there are broadly three segments that emerge. One is a segment of customers who use cloth filters, cloth and sieve. They believe they are taking some action to at least remove the physical impurities, but they take no other action. Then there's a large segment of customers who use boiling as an intervention, and there are a large segment of customers who also use bottled water. There remains a small cohort of customers who also make no intervention, who just drink tap water. We have identified the category barriers and the triggers for each of these segments. For instance, the customers who use cloth and sieve filters, the barriers that we have while unlocking their behavior. There are two barriers. Fundamentally, they believe that they're taking some action and that they are doing something to improve the quality of water. In their case, our campaign that we reach out to them and tell them that cloth filters are not enough, they do not kill bacteria, they do not kill viruses. And on top of that, we have provided a solution that's affordably priced, starting $6,499 for a UV product. combined with distribution expansion and combined with outreach through an aggressive advertising campaign. So identifying barriers to category growth, investing in the right products at the right price points, supported by category creating communication and distribution expansion would be the levers of growth for us.
Okay. And what would be the management's guidance, say, on top line and bottom line 3 years down the line?
Swati, I think I want to step back and reiterate what I said in my opening remarks, that we are fortunate to operate in categories with tremendous headroom for growth. We also are fortunate to have a customer base who is becoming increasingly sensitive and aware about the importance of health and hygiene. As we address category barriers, as we drive innovation, we expect to see sustained multi-year growth in all our categories. We would refrain from providing a guidance, but suffice it is to say that we see a long runway for growth across all categories, across all consumer segments, not just in category growth, but at multiple price points. As we know, India is many Indias. There are price points. There's a penetration task and a category growth task. There's equally an upgradation task in a differentiation and premiumization task. And we will participate in all these segments and address all these consumer opportunities. So there is no paucity or scarcity of growth opportunities, and we are excited by the prospect.
Thank you. Ms. Hiru, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Harshit Kapadia from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a strong margin performance in a challenging environment. So 2 questions from my side. Since you have rationalized your categories, I believe we have closed some of your categories like AC and probably Corona Guard. Are you going to further see any kind of a write-off happening in this financial year FY24? That is the first question. And secondly, at the AGM, Eureka Forbes AGM, Pratik sir had mentioned about that you would want to benchmark your margins to the industry level. Now, when you consider your nearest peer as your benchmark, or do you consider consumer electrical industry as a benchmark?
Can you repeat the question, please, the last part? It wasn't very clear.
Yeah, so when you had mentioned at the AGM, you know, you generally would want to achieve your margins very much close to your industry peers. Are you referring to your closest industry peers, or are you referring only to the electrical industry peers, just to get a sense?
Yeah, thank you, Ashish, for your question. So on the first one, what we've done so far as the portfolio is concerned is exited those product lines which were of a scale which did not contribute meaningfully to the business. So it's about health conditioners, it's about Corona Guard, it's about a securities division, and most recently about a B2B food store cleaning service portfolio. So that is something that that, you know, we've made a choice around it. Going ahead, we will continue keep looking at the opportunities that are there to see what are the margin accretive choices that can be made, and basis that you would keep taking decisions.
Harshad, if I can come in on your second question about our benchmarking.
Yeah.
We benchmark and we look at peers both who are more proximate in the categories that we operate in, as also the largest space of consumer durables and the even larger net space of consumer companies. As we look at our margin opportunity, we have to keep 2 things in mind. There's, of course, the need to improve profitability, to make sure we reduce wastage, increase productivity, drive digitalization, get the right portfolio mix and the right cost structures. There's also equally the need for us to make sure we make the right investment choices. And the margins that we will therefore arrive at will be a combination of these 2. I think we made the point in our opening remarks that we see headroom for margin expansion, and also we see headroom for significant growth. And that will be the journey for us in the years ahead, in the quarters ahead, to drive sustainable and to drive profitable growth for our portfolio.
Fair enough, sir. Just if I could slip in one more question. We have seen, you know, when we look at Eureka for the last 10-year period, FY12 to FY16, we have seen a CAGR of close to 11 to 12% revenue growth. But last 5 years, FY17 to 21, the growth has been more or less challenging for Eureka Forbes. So if you can highlight, you know, what has been the issues that Eureka Forbes was having, and also how are some of these issues being addressed by this new management, and what is the market share presently of Eureka Forbes, and any target that you have in mind to achieve in market share in water purifier space?
Yeah, so let me try and address that one question, which actually was three questions, Arshad, but let me just try and respond to that. I think on your first question, that in the recent past, Eureka Forbes has a bit of a growth challenge. There are two or three reasons for it. First of all, in the vital environment, in the last 4 or 5 years, there have been challenges, in terms of demonetization, followed by GSTs, and of course, the last couple of years of COVID. So there's been a structural challenge that the category has faced itself. Apart from that, there have been two or three challenges that Eureka Forbes has to deal with. The first one is, I think, the underinvestment we made in innovation. We've allowed ourselves to slip versus competition. So that is something that has clearly hurt us, number one. Number two, the fact that we have downsized some of our channels to drive efficiencies and to cut costs. And I'm talking of 2018-2019, not in the recent past. Without creating the commensurate strength in other channels, that has impacted business as well. We recognize the need for us to build a strong portfolio of products which are differentiated, which are competitive, which restore thought leadership. You will see us driving innovation very aggressively in the period ahead. Innovation that will both grow penetration at the bottom end of the market, but equally importantly, drive premium propositions both in water and the other categories. On your question of market share, I think we are fortunate to have an omni-channel presence that straddles retail, straddles direct, and of course straddles e-commerce. And we are fortunate to have a strong market share in all of these channels, and as a result of which we are strong market leaders both in water and in cleaning. And our objective going forward is of course to make sure that not only do we drive category growth, but we also increase our share presence in all these categories. That said, I think it's important to recognize that the battle here is not as competitive as it has to be one of driving overall category growth. But we will remain competitive and we will drive share gain as well.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Charanjit Singh from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, Anji, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and thanks for the good show in terms of the numbers on the margin front. So my first question is, if you look at, the channel mix, how it has changed, once we have taken over and we used to have more and more of direct, channel, which got impacted during the COVID, and, how those things are shaping up. Second is on the service part. Service part is a, important part in this business. How large is that currently, and with a very strong, on the feet, or ground presence, how we see that service part also scaling up within this overall business pie?
Thank you, Charanjit. Let me respond to your first question to begin with. Like I said earlier in my response to Harsha, we have a strong channel mosaic across direct sales, where, as you know, we were the pioneers. We have a strong presence in retail, both general trade and modern trade. And we have a strong and growing presence in e-commerce. Over the last 1 year, we've made attempts and we've made interventions in strengthening our play in each of these channels. In our digital sales channel, we have empowered the team with strong and high-quality digital leads. We are enabling them in the future with digitally enabled sales tools which allow them to drive much higher productivity. The direct sales channel, as you know, is a source of strength for us and differentiation for us. It's a channel where we have a customer in dialogue with us for almost 45 minutes to an hour. And it's a very powerful asset that we intend to use to drive conversions, especially of premium water purifiers and of new concepts which require category consumer education and category creation. So that's on direct sales. In retail, both in general trade and modern trade, our focus has been on driving on-ground execution excellence, in driving distribution expansion, and ensuring that we have visibility and get the right portfolio in both of these channels. In e-commerce, we are fortunate to have a very strong relationship with all key marketplace players, and we built a portfolio of products that have allowed us to deliver very strong growth and also to gain share. So overall, from a product point of view, we have a strong presence across all channels, and we have distinct plans and very specific plans at growing our revenues, growing our share through each of these channels. Coming to the service question that you had, you're absolutely right. Service is a very, very important channel for us. It is a source of customer connect. Hundreds of our business partners and thousands of our technicians across the country help us forge an ongoing relationship with millions of customers. We are using this network, as I mentioned earlier, reinventing the service experience and the customer experience through digital enablers. I think all of us know that today's customers, they live in a world where they've grown to expect 10-minute grocery delivery as normal. They expect, you know, on-demand service at the fingertips, they expect control, they expect visibility. We will transform and reimagine our entire service experience to deliver all of this, to deliver convenience, to deliver control, and above all, to deliver predictability to our customers. And therefore, elevating the customer experience will be one big part of our strategy. I think with the network that we have, on-ground network, our partners, our employees, complemented with powerful digital enablers, will allow us to completely reimagine the customer experience.
Got it. Thanks, Prateek, for taking my questions and giving detailed insights. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I'm sorry, I'm again harping you on growth. You know, as you said that you are the market leader, you see enablization of digitization, you will get the category also growing, you will gain market share also. But just, you know, leaving aside all these things, last 10 years category growth itself has been 10-12%. So just in your sense, what do you see a change in the category growth? If you can throw some light on that, that'll be really helpful.
Nitin, I think it's a fair question and it's a good question, but what is the likely outlook of the category in the future? And of course, as I mentioned earlier, the category has structural tailwinds that are going to help the category move forward. The tailwinds that I spoke about of growing the hygiene needs and awareness, the pipe water availability, electrification, all these are structural tailwinds.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's up to players like us to then ride on these tailwinds and create propositions for customers, create moments of conversion which allow our customers to convert much faster. I think it would be fair to say that without putting a number on it, I mean, eventually the number that the category will grow by will be a function of multiple things, including macros. It would be hard to put a number down, but it would be fair to say that the groundwork and the base is right for a breakout in terms of growth, well above the numbers of 10%. Yeah, but so when will it happen? How fast will it happen? Hard to say because there are other variables at play as well. But structurally, I think the category is well poised to move to grow at a faster pace. Again, I want to sort of caveat that by saying that it's a function of multiple things, some within the control of the industry players, some outside, but the structural tailwinds are all there.
Got it. Second aspect in terms of your distribution. So, do you see further the channel which you spoke about? Do you have still headroom to grow your distribution, or rather than just bearing the fruit of your distribution by, you know, having more stickiness to customer conversion, or do you see distribution also expanding? You have that scope there as well.
Nitin, oh, absolutely. I think there is significant headroom for us to grow our distribution presence and our footprint in the country across all our channels. Let me start by talking about the channel where, you know, which connects through trade, which is general trade channel in the country. I think as we start growing the category, as we start putting the right products and the right price points, we create a virtuous cycle by which we will also help grow the category distribution and the category footprint. Today, we are still available as a category in a small proportion, small percentage of the small domestic appliances universe. And therefore, there is abundant headroom for us as a category and indeed as a company to grow distribution in retail. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, indirect sales. As we work through the network of our own employees and our direct with the channel partners, we see room to grow the footprint, penetrate more markets, and drive, like I said earlier, the new categories, premium propositions, and the new concepts. The e-commerce, of course, as we all know, is a story of channel growth and channel expansion, both in metros and in small towns, and we are seeing a tremendous tailwind for the category and for us in the channel. Lastly, the service network. I think we have a strong presence and amongst the largest service networks in the country. As we grow the product portfolio, we will in turn create the enablers for the service network to expand as well. So, I mean, just to summarize, I think there is abundant headroom that we see across all channels in driving distribution growth, in driving availability growth, and in driving execution excellence.
That's helpful, Prateek. Just one, if I can squeeze in. And generally, you know, in your P&L, we see a service charge, which is a very high number. And I'm assuming the services part is on your payrolls versus, I'm not talking about the unorganized, but let's say a decent-sized market share player. We don't see these service charges on his P&L that much. I'm assuming it's a way of, they're doing way of servicing business and your way of doing servicing business. Is this going to materially change going forward? If you can throw some light on that. That's my last question. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. Nitin, I'll step in. So first, just to throw some color on what this charge represents. So this is largely the charges that we pay for installation, for complaint handling, for call handling, etc. This is what this charge is about. I just want to clarify that this is something that the people who do it are not on the rolls of the company. They are the ones who work with our business partners. What we've seen so far is that this is an area which is absolutely amenable to digitization. As we digitize our processes, as we improve our tasks, as we get more and more customer-centric, we will see that cycle playing out of our complaints going down, our turnaround times improving, and this is one area where we believe that digitization will play out in terms of varying efficiencies over a period of time.
Okay. If I can just add to that and just give one more sort of contextual point there, Nitin. Today, roughly, well, just a little over 50% of our complaints and our calls still come through a call center.
Mm-hmm.
That number has been reducing over the last few quarters, as you can imagine. But there is abundant room even now to move this number up and to move most of the traffic to our own digital asset. As it happens, we'll improve, of course, we'll reduce costs, we'll improve reliability, improve speed, and in general, improve the overall customer experience. And there could be many examples like that which we could cite to talk about the headroom we have in you know, driving efficiencies there, but equally important in improving the overall customer experience.
Got it. Thank you very much, sir. I'll come back in the queue. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. One, Can you articulate our distribution structure? What are the touch points that we are having over a period of past 3 years, how it has increased, and how do you see the distribution changing over next 3 to 4 years? That is one question. And secondly, some of the products that we have introduced, the automatic vacuum cleaner.
Joshi, the audio is not clear from your line. Please use the handset mode.
Yeah, I mean on handset only. Is it okay now?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, the first question is about the distribution, how it had changed, and what is our distribution strategy as far as the number of outlets, distributors, and how do we see the going forward that? And second question is also on some of the products which we have introduced are automatic vacuum cleaners, etc. So do you see really there exists a market for such kind of products? And again, means if you can indicate our market shares which are there across key products. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Aniruddha. Let me attempt to answer both of them. On the distribution structure, we have four channels that we work with. The first channel that we have is our direct sales channel. Eureka Forbes was the first company to introduce a direct-to-home sales channel 40 years ago, and that remains one of the larger channels for us. Within that, we have both our company employee-run network as also a network managed by our direct franchise partners. So that is our direct sales channel. We also have a retail network which goes to distributors and from them to retail outlets across the country. We also have the modern trade channel where we have direct accounts that we work with, both national modern trade and regional modern trade. We also have direct dealers whom we service directly. The third channel that we have is e-commerce with the marketplaces that we work with. And the fourth channel that we have is a large channel which has service. And that we work through our service partners who in turn employ service technicians. So those are the four channels that we work through. Over the years, as you can imagine, e-commerce and retail have grown in contribution because they have grown faster. And direct has become smaller but still remains a significant part of our revenue mix. On your second question, Aniruddha, on the products and the vacuum cleaners, if I look at the vacuum cleaner category and pull out a little bit, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, the category still has low penetration. One reason for that is there is, in India, the habit of using domestic help for household cleaning. However, in the last 3 years, for obvious reasons, I think everyone realized the importance of having a cleaning solution which was outside of the domestic help context. And all our research shows that the space of convenient cleaning is going to become very large. And when we say convenient cleaning, we mean cleaning that is less laborious, that is automated, and that allows the homemaker or the family member to have the house cleaned, either primary cleaning or top-up cleaning, with minimal effort. So the space of convenient cleaning, robotic vacuum cleaners, upright vacuum cleaners, we believe will see strong growth over the next few years. And we intend to participate in that. Equally, the conventional vacuum cleaners are also seeing some tailwinds for similar reasons, but at a different price points, different price point. So therefore, certainly I think there is a market for premium and convenient cleaning products, both robotics and uprights. And we have a portfolio and we're building a stronger portfolio in these spaces.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Srinidhi from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers on margin front. So a couple of questions on the services business. Just wondering, is there a way to know how much is the lifetime services revenue potential from a new water purifier that gets installed versus the product cost? and what are typically replacement cycle for a water purifier according to your assessment?
Yes. Thank you, Srinidhi. So let me answer your first question. And I think that's a really key question that you've asked, and it underlines a very important point that as we sell our products, including the ones which are priced lower and which aim to expand and grow distribution, grow penetration, we also are able to thereby forge a much longer relationship with our customers. And in the lifetime of the relationship, we also have access to service revenue. So that is a very important value stream for us, and we intend to sort of double click on that, underline that, make sure we improve the customer experience, and make sure that we therefore forge and strengthen that relationship. As you can imagine, having a strong relationship with our customers also enables us to do replacement selling. As Eureka Forbes, given our vintage and given the trust that we enjoy, we are fortunate to have a large number of customers who've been with us for 20, 25, 30 years. We are the only device and the only brand that have experienced. And they come to us, they buy the product, they avail our services, and when the time comes for the replacement, they come back to us and find a replacement product in AquaGuard. The base of customers that we have for water, for example, also allow us to do cross-category selling opportunities. And I spoke earlier about the fact that we are investing in growing cleaning and air, in the fact that we've got a direct sales channel that is well-suited and perfectly amenable for doing category creation work, consumer education work. That combined with a large base of customers who are loyal to us, who trust us, makes for a very, very powerful asset to work off. Back to your specific question of replacement cycle. The cycle varies. It's a function of the interventions done by marketers like us, of this need that they create to drive repurchase. The current repurchase cycles are between 5 to 6 years, but we see no reason why they can't be compressed further through the right interventions, through the right innovations, and through the right nudges to our customers to move up. If we do not differentiate sufficiently, if customers do not see a value in moving up, then they will stay with the cycle of 5 to 6 years. But the more we premiumize, the more we provide differentiated solutions, the more will be the encouragement that customers will have to move up faster. And that's a lever we intend to deploy.
Right. This is really helpful. So just wondering, would it be able to quantify the lifetime revenue, services revenue potential according to, is it like 2x the product cost or is it 1x product cost broadly?
So we wouldn't be able to quantify it, and we would not like to quantify it either. But you can imagine that a customer stays with us for 7, 8, 10 years and stays with us over service, with service over that lifetime, that revenue stream is extremely valuable to us. And also it provides, like I said earlier, a good bedrock for us to then renew the relationship both in water and other categories. Beyond that, we would be unable to quantify, I'm afraid.
No, that is the perspective is really helpful. And just building on to this question, I also want to understand how much are you able to capture this service potential? Is there a lot of this service request getting captured by non-branded players? Well, the machine is of AquaGuard, but someone else is servicing, and there is a lot of low-hanging fruit that you can capture, or it's largely you are capturing it?
No, that's a fair question. I think we are certainly capturing some part of this revenue through our business partner and service network. That said, we also are aware that there exists a fairly large market outside of a purview, the unorganized market and the market that gets serviced, that services customers, maybe at a lower cost with maybe lower quality. And we intend to drive upgradation of this market, conversion of this market, through two themes. One is consumer education. A lot of customers who buy these parallel services are not even aware that they are buying the unorganized sector service. They think they are buying Eureka Forbes service. So it is our task to therefore create that awareness, to tell customers that this is the only genuine, authenticated Eureka Forbes service provider. So there is one big element of customer education that we are working on. Equally, we are also aware that there is a parallel market with counterfeits and spurious filters, which compromise the consumer's health and undermine trust in AquaGuard. So we intend to pursue legal remedies as well in driving this market down and ensuring that we have conversion happening to the genuine AquaGuard ecosystem. The third space and the third theme that we intend to drive, and if you notice in my opening remarks, I used the term D2C, and it was a term I used advisedly, because the way to cement this relationship, going back to some of the earlier questions, is to make sure we lean over and we go past and overcome the friction and the bottlenecks in the entire activity chain and go to our customers directly. So we also intend to invest in building a D2C, a direct-to-consumer platform, which will allow customers to come to us and buy the right products, the genuine filters, and genuine service. Because as a brand, we enjoy tremendous trust and tremendous goodwill. We just need to make sure that customers are able to navigate their way to us easily. And D2C is an important enabler towards that.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Aditya Chheda from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So to understand the business better, if you can help us understand how the revenue is broken up between the vacuum cleaners and the water filter, and also how much of it is traded revenues, and if you intend to add any capacity for in-house manufacturing. That is the first question.
Thank you. Let me answer the first question first. I think not many people know that the first category that Eureka Forbes launched with was actually vacuum cleaners. And we continue to have a dominant market share in this category across the multiple segments of conventional vacuum cleaners, the handheld vacuum cleaners, the wet and dry vacuum cleaners, and the robotic vacuum cleaners. We also have a growing presence in the upright space. And vacuum cleaners comprise a significant part of our revenues and an even larger part of our volumes. Vacuum cleaners, given the category construct, operate at a lower ASP compared to water purifier, so therefore the volume mix is higher than the revenue mix. Beyond that, I'm afraid we won't be able to share specific numbers of the category breakup. Both of them are significant, both of them are material, and we intend to grow both. Air purifiers remain very small and are not material, but as I mentioned earlier, this is a category that will be incubated, will be nurtured. It requires patience, it requires customer education and category creation work that is often backbreaking, but gives a lot of results in the medium to long term. And we intend to invest behind that in a calibrated way, albeit. On your second question about traded versus in-house manufacturing, we have a portfolio, the combination of both. We intend to move progressively and in a very considered and very deliberate way more of the portfolio to in-house manufacturing, however, only where it makes commercial sense to do so. That apart, we intend to focus on creating a lot more of IP within Eureka Forbes, so that we can work with OEMs with design and IP being owned by us. So we intend to do that, and that's in keeping with the theme that I spoke about earlier of double clicking and underlining on innovation. We will be driving innovation aggressively, innovation across the spectrum, across the categories of water, cleaning and air, and owning the IP, owning design expertise will allow us to therefore create the capability of able to manufacture in India as well.
Perfect. And my second question is that if we look at the historical other expenses, there were a lot of such as legal charges at 3% or IT expenses at 2%. So I see a lot of low-hanging fruits to rationalize those. So have you already embarked on those, or there are some situations where you can still rationalize these expenses? And also, if you can quantify how the ESOP could be impacting the employee cost over the next FY24 and 25 ESOP cost.
Sure, Aditya. I'll first take the first question on the other expenses. You make a very valid observation on some of the cost lines, and we are very cognizant of that. Even when we've done our benchmarking, we've come to the same realization that there do exist opportunities in these cost lines as well. We are in the process of one, assessing, two, quantifying, and three, executing. So it is going to be an ongoing process. The work as we speak is underway, and we believe that over a period of time we would be able to drive more efficiencies out of it. Coming to your second question on ESOP, that is something which from a quarter four perspective, that accounting is not triggered. We recently have got necessarily shareholder approvals, etc., and that is something which will get reflected in our quarter one results.
Can you quantify what that number would be for the next financial year?
We are in the process of it's work in progress as we speak. We have just got the necessary approvals, and that is WIP.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Praveen Ranjan Sahai from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. My question pertaining to the balance sheet, you have a deferred tax liability of 890 crore. Can you give some detail on that? Is it going to reduce the way forward? How is that?
So I'll give a context to it. So the recognition of this liability on the balance sheet was done at the time of the merger. So at the time of merger, there is a business combination accounting that gets triggered as far as applicable accounting standards. Hence, you will see this particular liability on our balance sheet. You will also notice that this goes hand in hand with intangible assets and goodwill recognized on the asset side. So this is effectively a combination. This is effectively a consequence of the business combination accounting that has been done.
Okay, thank you for that. And a goodwill of more than 2,000 odd crore. Are you amortizing this?
No, goodwill is something which is not amortized. Again, as per accounting standards, it has to go through an annual impairment testing, but there is no amortization that happens for goodwill.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for clarification.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Shah from OHM Portfolio Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on good set of results. But I have again broad questions in terms of, you know, how to look at the size and scale of the company. Given the cost base of, you know, 300 crores of employees, overhead of 500, service charges of 1100, that comes to around 300 crores. So total of 1100 crores of cost base, a revenue base of 2000 crores. Where do you think a normalized operation would be? And I know while you don't want to give a specific guidance, directionally, is it easy to double the turnover with the same cost base or to cut the cost base by half and grow the turnover steadily by, say, 10-15%?
Jayesh, that's a good question. And I think goes back to the point I made earlier in response to several questions. I think we are fortunate to have a foundation, which is an omni-channel foundation, a foundation where we have a tremendous brand equity in AquaGuard, tremendous foundational strength in terms of service, and a base of Eurochamps and our employees who are experienced, who are knowledgeable, who know this category inside out. I think, however, that said, we have tremendous headroom as a category and as a company to grow the category, to grow the business across water, across the other categories, to grow the business across multiple channels. I spoke earlier about distribution expansion. Whether it's in retail, whether it's in e-commerce, whether it's in direct, there is abundant room to grow. I spoke earlier also about service and the fact that we are fortunate to have sustained relationships with our customers. But we also are cognizant of the parallel market from which we can derive and extract growth by conversion. I think we have a strong base. Even as we work to cut costs and drive efficiencies, and you know, as Gaurav said earlier, some opportunities are you know, are visible. Even as we see to do that, clearly for a business with our foundation and with our potential, we can grow faster, we can be much bigger. Whether it will be 2x, 1.5x, 3x, when? Hard to say, hard to put a finger down. But I think the important thing is to say, is to notice and to sort of remind ourselves that these are potentially very large categories. If you go to any other country in South Asia or in the larger Asia market, the penetration of our categories is much, much larger, whether it's water, whether it's cleaning, whether it's air. So we have a very large, potentially a large runway to grow. We have the foundational enablers. We are making the right investments. For instance, this year, we are making a significant change in our capex trajectory. Typically, we spend between 15 to 20 crores of capex every year. In FY24, we intend to really move the needle and spend and invest behind 70 to 90 crores of capex. And that is again pointing to the fact that we are investing for the future, we are investing to drive growth, in investing in building a much larger and much more vibrant and much more customer-centric Eureka Force. So I guess that's the larger picture, that this is a business that has all the enablers to be a much larger business. The pace at which we can do that, we don't know, we can't be sure right now, but the intent is to grow fast and to grow profitably and to grow sustainably.
Thank you.
And just to add some color, you know, and I'll pick up from what we spoke about earlier. You know, for example, we spoke of service charge. Now, the more we digitize, the more efficiencies will come on their own. The better is the experience on customer service. The lower is the complaint call volume, and that again translates into cost. Another example, if I were to give, was you know, we've got an amazing set of Eurochamps in our direct channel. Now, with the same setup, we can play the role of building newer categories, and that won't come at an incremental cost. So we have those levers available which can propel growth without a commensurate increase in cost.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Jay Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Pratik, this question is for you. You know, in the past 9-10 months since the time we took over, now, what are the low-hanging fruits that you think you've already captured and or turnaround measures that you've taken? Where are you in that journey of essentially capturing low-hanging fruits and some easy turnaround sort of opportunities, both on top line and bottom line?
Yeah, no, thank you, Jay. It's a good question. I think the work that has been kicked off in the last 8-9 months has been a combination of harnessing, like you said, the low-hanging fruits, but more importantly, to put in place the enablers and the foundations for becoming a much more vibrant or more profitable, faster growing, and a future-ready organization. We have made investments in several areas in capability building. As you have seen, we've built a fairly new leadership team, but we now have a team that is a combination of experience from within Eureka Corps, as also new inspirations and influences from outside. So that's one big theme of work we've done. The other big work theme has been about technology and digital. We kicked off a lot of work. Some of that is still beneath the... In fact, a lot of the work that we're doing right now is beneath the waterline. It will break out. It will surface soon. But there is a lot of work happening and there is furious paddling happening beneath the surface, beneath the waterline. We've kicked off a lot of work on innovations as well. Again, some of that is visible. A lot of that will get manifested in the months to come, in the periods to come. I think the what the work that you are already seeing manifest and show up is in the sequential improvement and the year-on-year improvement in margins. And the point that I made in my opening remarks that we have now broken out from the mid-single digits to low single digits margin trajectory, and we feel confident of, you know, being in this space or more in the terms ahead. So like any transformation, Jay, as you can imagine, there is a need to land some quick wins and to harvest, like, the low-hanging fruits. But it would be wrong to just focus on that. So our attempt has been to balance both the short-term delivery as also link plays enablers for a much larger and much more exciting longer-term transformation.
Thank you. That's helpful. Just one more, if I may. Now, your commentary on the near term was a bit subdued. I was just wondering, despite, you know, such solid sort of steps being taken in the last 8-10 months, does the external environment still sort of is very important in terms of, you know, the growth trajectory that you can achieve? So do you, in short, do you have to depend on external environment to improve, or the steps that you've taken should still ensure your double-digit kind of growth?
Yeah. So I think again, just to respond, yes, you're right, absolutely. And as I spoke earlier, we have taken a fair number of steps to drive change and drive transformation. Like I said earlier, many of them are still, you know, work in progress and will show up in the periods ahead. But I think it's important to recognize that a company like Eureka Forbes that has seen not much change in the past, it takes time to have some of these changes land and to have some of these changes show and deliver impact. So there is one element of that. Equally, I think point that you made, that there is a fairly challenged macro environment that we are operating in, and therefore that also depressing sentiment, depressing consumer spend. However, I want to be clear about one thing, that we cannot as a leadership team talk about only the external environment and ascribe results to that. We have to take charge, we have to take control, and that's exactly what we intend to do. So yes, there is a challenging macro environment, but we've got the investments and the initiatives in play that will help us drive growth in the periods ahead. How soon and how quickly, I think can't tell now, but we are not depending, to your question, on the environment to turn to deliver growth. Our investments are fundamental and structural in nature and speak to either the opportunities that face us or the bottlenecks that impinge and crimp us. We are looking at both areas of work.
Thank you so much. Wish you the very best, Pratik, in this role and your strength. Yeah. And just one request, if you could have some more disclosures in the presentation in future as the business sort of evolves.
No, thank you, Jay, and thank you for that feedback. And as you can imagine, we have been as we made the presentations, we have a balancing act to do. We want to make sure that we give enough information to all of you, so you get an informed view of the business, of a performance, what's working, what's not working. At the same time, we also want to be careful not to put so much out there that it compromises our competitive advantage. So it's a balancing act. Notwithstanding that, I hear your feedback and we hear your feedback, and we circle back and we'll see what we can do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amber Singhania from Nippon Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Singhania, the audio is not audible.
Am I audible now?
Yes, please.
Yeah, just a couple of questions from my side. Mr.
Singhania, please increase the volume of your device.
Is it better now?
Sir, please use the handset mode. The audio is not clear.
I'm on the handset only. Am I audible now?
Please call.
Hello. Ahead. Yeah. So just a couple of questions from my side. One, if you can give some color about the current market share we have in the major three categories, which is water purifier, air purifier, and vacuum cleaner. And how is there, if we can share any targets, maybe 3 to 5 year horizon on that side. Second thing is that you also mentioned about entering into the new categories. If you can give some color, which kind of categories you guys are planning to enter, and will it go simultaneously along with the current strategic initiatives within the current categories, or you will first stabilize the current business and then enter into these new categories?
Got it. So thank you, Ambar. Thank you for the questions. On your market share question, we are, we have a strong omni-channel play. We have a strong play and presence in retail, both in general trade and in modern trade. We have a strong presence and indeed a growing presence in e-commerce. We also, of course, have a foundational strength coming from a direct sales network. But as you can imagine, obviously, we have 100% market share. So our market share that we enjoy is a combination of multiple, all these channels put together, and the fact, and a function of how fast we go in each of these channels. If I had to double click further on market share, before I do that, I think the fact is that we are market leaders in water very easily. We are dominant market leaders in vacuum cleaners. And as I mentioned earlier, it is our intention to grow market share even as we drive the overall market size and market growth and penetration. We have strong presence in all channels and we have leadership in all of these channels. So that's the point about market share. The only channel that where market share gets measured, as you know, is in retail, where there's a panel measurement that comes. But we know from the other sources as well that our market share, across all channels, it gives us leadership. On your second question about categories, let me hasten to clarify. Between water, cleaning, and air, we believe we have for the moment the right portfolio to build the business in. Water, we have a dual task of growing penetration and driving premiumization and therefore increasing share. In vacuum cleaners, even as we grow the category, we have to build a stronger portfolio in the premium segments of convenient cleaning. In air, the task is much more of a category creation one, and task is much more of consumer education. So we will have a stronger portfolio and a stronger work plan in air aimed at doing that category creation work. Between these three categories, we believe we have the right portfolio to deliver sustained and profitable growth. We of course will remain in the future, not right away, but in the future, we will remain open to looking at other categories to drive growth. But for the moment, for the nonce, we have the right portfolio to grow.
Got it, sir. And just one more related question on the financial side. If you can just give some color about what is our total A&P spend and how are you seeing that going ahead? Is it sufficient to take care of our growth strategy? Because one side we are aiming towards cutting costs and improving efficiency, and at the same time, market share gain will also require increasing ad spend. So how are you looking that as any ballpark number in terms of target, and how do you plan to balance that?
Sambar, on the advertising and promotion spend, I think I would like to make two or three points. The first one is that we will invest in growing the category. We will invest in communicating our premium propositions. We will invest behind water, behind cleaning, and some basic work around air, but much more so around water and cleaning. We will also invest in growing, customer awareness and consumer awareness about service and the genuine Eureka Forbes service. We have a very strong brand in AquaGuard, which enjoys tremendous trust, tremendous equity. We have towering top-of-mind awareness. We have towering first preference scores. But it is a leadership that we do not intend to take for granted. And we will invest in refreshing the brand, making it contemporary, making it relevant for the younger consumer of today, most of the young people today have grown up having AquaGuard in their homes, but we intend to make sure that we reinvent the brand to be relevant to these consumers as well. Even as we do that, we will make sure that we extract efficiencies across the entire spend line, especially in promotions, and as we digitize, as we get more tracking and more visibility, we believe we'll be able to extract some inefficiencies so that we can invest back in driving advertising and driving ATL communication. Just as an aside to that, in our journey to being a D2C business, we will have to and we will invest more in digital marketing, both performance marketing to drive app downloads and app installs, as also to drive social and influencer marketing. So where exactly the number will end up, I don't know. That will be phased out progressively over the quarters to come. But it will be the area for us to invest. Bhavan, you want to add to that?
No, absolutely. I think, from our perspective, the principle would be that we would continue to invest in growth, and we believe that there are opportunities that are available across the P&L line to plan for it. So that's the overarching principle that we would be following.
Got it. Fine, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh from Multi-Act. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. This is Rohan. Sir, if you could give some color on channel-wise profitability, like which amongst retail, direct, e-commerce in terms of profitability would be higher, lower than company average. What I really want to understand is that if our revenue contribution from direct sales would be significantly higher relative to, our proximate peer, and if margins on direct are lower, does that hinder us from reaching, much higher industry-leading margins? Thank you.
Yeah. So I think just a couple of points. One is around the fact that we have an omni-channel presence which spans GT, MT, direct, e-com. So it is a fairly spread out channel presence that we have. It becomes a bit of a constraint to get into individual profitability also for the reason that there are a fair amount of costs which are common. So for example, advertisement and sales promotion is a cost which becomes a common cost. Similarly, there are certain corporate costs, and hence it becomes a constraint to kind of pinpoint the individual channel level profitability. From our perspective, one of the advantages that we have is a wide spectrum of portfolio, both on the product side and also on the channel side. And we believe that it is that portfolio play at an aggregate Eureka Forbes level, which gives us the flexibility to manage our financials.
Okay, but our focus that has been there on direct sales, that would continue and its salience would come down, or you would be comfortable with it going up as well?
Our agenda would be to grow all channels. Of course, with digitization coming in, it will come in a new form, a new avatar. So one of the examples that we spoke about earlier on the direct channel was, passing out digital leads. So it is a direct channel, but it starts operating in a very, very different manner. But our agenda is to grow across all channels.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prateek for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call today. I hope that you are able to address the questions that you asked and to your satisfactions. In case any queries remain unanswered, please reach out to us and we'll be glad to respond. Thank you and have a good day ahead.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Eureka Forbes, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.